firing at us?
Oh, are we ready?
No, you're just like, oh.
Thank you for getting down with me.
Yes.
I'm going to go out and get my coats.
So we're going to call the meeting back to order.
Please, 9-2.
We have a number of items on our agenda left, and I'm looking for a board suggestion to call the board one of the items around, take care of things before other things. The audit is the next item on the agenda, and then the budget, and the summary of recommendations from Brown Haven is one of those.
I would simply request that we make a commitment to end the meeting at 10 o'clock, and I think we go with the top priority for what we have on the agenda, and it seems to me that the budget is pretty top priority, seeing how it's the 25th of June. So I would suggest that we move the budget item, which is old business, is that it, number 2, to the next item on the agenda.
I'll make a motion to move that to the next item for a second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Right, I'm going to turn this to you for presentation.
Right. First of all, I need, is Debbie even called?
She's on the
line. Following our last meeting 2 weeks ago, I made a couple of changes that were requested in the budget. The first thing that was kind of the obvious one that was pointed out, and my apologies, this is strictly my fault. Gloria Morrison pointed out that the numbers for the 08-09 on the summary sheet here, these numbers, so we're all looking at the same page, the numbers that were listed as the 08-09 budget were different from what was actually in our actual 08-09 budget. And I didn't understand it at the time, but then when I went back and checked, it was my mistake that when I prepared this sheet, those numbers were actually the 07-08 budgetary numbers, not the 08-09. And that's how that happened. So I made that correction. The other correction that I made was on three budgeted items, expense items, the first one being in 598, there was concern that because we were carrying over COPS money and we were showing $82,000 as an expense that we didn't actually have expenditures for, that the board felt that I should remove that. It's an accounting type issue. As soon as Debbie gets here, she's going to explain that.
Debbie's here.
Oh, okay. Debbie, you're here? Okay. Let me go through what I did first and we'll backtrack. So I took those out. On 602, there was a comment made that because we won't have a bathroom, to take the cost of the custodian to maintaining the bathroom next year out, and I did that. And then finally, on 962, it was asked that I remove the expenditure of the purchase of a patrol vehicle, which I did. So those are the corrections that were sent to you in your packets that were to be put into the budget packet that went out at the last meeting.
So Greg, just to clarify, when you switched all those first column numbers from the 08-09 budget, that trailed all the way through, right? And all the differences changed also?
Yes. The only thing that changed, I mean, the 08-09 budget was actually, the figures there were all 07-08. And when you were looking at expenditures to what was budgeted, that changed, and then the balance changed. So yeah, basically that whole form, other than what we were talking about in the 9-10 budget projections, what we expected the expenditures to be, those were accurate. But the other three columns were inaccurate. And I didn't know what happened at the time. In fact, I caught At our last meeting, I caught a $100,000 one when it came to 502 police salaries, but I didn't realize it went through the entire document. I thought that was just the $100,000 was just in that one charted item. It wasn't. It was the entire document.
So the best way to look at it is the accurate numbers from last time to this time are simply the 0910 budget column. That's it. Out of the six columns, one. Because everything else trailed through in the formulas, right?
What I would say is this page that I gave you last meeting, discard. This is the correct page now. This has the correct figure. The one that's in the packet now, these pages need to be inserted in place of the ones that are in there now. And these are the correct numbers. And what happened? It's a programming thing that when I did it backwards instead of the right way. And that's how it occurred. Like I said, Debbie's here. There was some question about one, the cops accounting.
$598,
and as well as available cash. Here, do you need this?
I have a loud voice. I don't have to be on mic.
You got one?
I have a seat.
For everybody that doesn't know, this is our accountant.
Hi.
I don't know that we've actually given her the title tonight. We've just been calling her Debbie, so there you go.
Debbie, we do have some people who are hard of hearing in here.
I have to speak at the mic.
I think they would appreciate it.
It would be helpful.
Oh,
please,
yeah.
Please do. We've had a lot of discussion about this.
Okay. Can you hear me?
No.
Nope.
Really? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It's my first time on a mic. Okay.
Close and personal to it.
Okay.
Sorry. I guess I'll ask the first question about the cost fund then. And that's, Cindy, you got it up for somebody else to hide it. The cost fund at 598, it shows an expense of $31,470 in the budget under 2009-2010. We've always gone back and forth about this, that that's an expense, but there's no corresponding income figure reflecting the money available. So aren't we automatically overstating our deficit by putting that as an expense without a corresponding income item?
In fact, no, but I understand what your question is. What happened with the COPS money is that when the money was given, it was reported as income. You didn't spend it all in that year. So even whether you had it budgeted or not, you didn't spend it. So what you had was, if you want to say, an overstated net income for that category on that year. So like in what did we start with? 0708, we had unspent money. So in 0708, you would have reported $100,000 in revenue, but not $100,000 in expenses. In 0708. So you then have money that you can still spend in another year, but let's say you never got any more cost money. You still have money in an account that you can spend, but it has to be reported as an expense in the year that you spent it.
So in year one, you've overstated income, and year two, you've overstated expenses.
If you want to, in fact, you haven't overstated it, you've reflected reality, but the truth is, yes, you have a reserve left over that you have to pick up as an expense in the year you spent it. So it doesn't match the revenue, you're right.
Yeah.
The revenue's already been reported. And that's what I think is bothering people now. We have about $80,000, I believe, that is left to spend. And I understand that it causes a conflict because it looks like expense against no revenue, but in fact you have it in savings. And I asked the chief to call and find out what the rule is, because you can't hold that money forever. I mean, what you don't want to do is have to write a check to the state and give it back.
Well, the problem we have is we're trying to get a realistic sense of what our deficit is. And what you're telling us, this is more of a timing issue than a real hardcore deficit.
Correct. It's an expense on this year's books, let's say, but it's money that's going to be paid for out of savings.
That was income last year. So
correct.
We have just that mismatch of income and expense.
Correct. And that's just because you didn't spend it last year.
But following up on that, it is put into a special COPS fund. Say you might call it a savings gun slap. But
it is.
You reimbursed the general fund this year $120,000 to reimburse the general fund according to your estimated available cash. Mm-hmm. And yet that kind of money is shown after people say, oh, we're going to have a deficit of $100,000. The general fund was reimbursed $157,000 from these special funds.
Okay.
So in terms of the money that is around.
Okay. Yeah, but there's a difference. We have the same conflict every time. There's a difference in cash balances versus an income statement of profit and loss, right? Which you guys are looking at, revenue versus expenditures. There's a difference. We already know that we're looking at 1 year and deciding whether that's plus or minus. But we already know we have reserves from other years. It's the same issue here as it is with our full money. We have cash available from prior years. So yes, the COPS fund is scheduled to reimburse the general fund, but no, it doesn't change your income statement. Because in fact, the COPS money shows on your income statement, your expenditures do. So whether they were paid for with cash from the general fund or reimbursed later from the COPS savings, it still shows as an expenditure on your books under 598. This is just moving cash to keep track, to make a nice trail. But in fact, the income statement is properly stated with 598 expenditures.
You're talking about the budget, though.
Question.
You guys hold you're deciding the budget for the next year, but in fact, 598 is a general ledger account number where we account for the current year, whatever's happened. And that's where those expenditures are recorded, whether or not they were paid from with general fund, you know, the big cash account, or the COPS savings account. Ultimately, they still show in the same place.
But on the other hand, isn't there a way to show a transfer from savings?
It will be a transfer.
Yeah, there is. That's a transfer, but it's shown after we hear that there's a $100,000 deficit, then there was a transfer from savings as part of cash carry forward.
No, no. This transfer, are you looking at estimated available cash? Yeah. Is that what you're referring to? Those are just transfers that are going to happen by June 30th to write the cash. But they don't affect the income statement whatsoever. So they, as far as whether your deficit, it doesn't add to the deficit, it doesn't subtract from the deficit. These don't affect the deficit at all.
Then why does the expenditure?
Well, the expenditure is money you really spent.
But that's from a special fund.
Well, it's part of your full accounting. It's recorded as account 598, but it's part of your full accounting. The general fund, the COPS money, although it's a cash account and you have to account for it in a certain way and only spend it on certain things, it's part of your general fund. It's part of your full financial. When the audit comes, they don't keep it as a separate thing. It fits in your financial.
I have a question too. Yeah.
First of all, let me just get to, do we not spend any of the $100,000? And we are talking about that was 08-09 income.
We actually had not spent all of 07-08.
So they left over from 07-08?
During the year that is happening right now, we finished spending 07-08 money and a little bit of 08-09.
Okay.
Right? So we have 80-something thousand left.
From both years?
No. Well, total. But we have finished the 07-08 money this year, and we've cut into the 08-09 a little bit, 15,000 or something.
Okay. So in terms of the aggregate, we've got about 80,000 unspent yet.
That's correct.
Now, does that, whatever that sum is, 80,000 or so, is that showing in the cash carryovers?
Yes, it is. If you look at the... Okay.
So it's there. So... in terms of, you know, when people talk about deficit budgets and balanced budgets, you can use those words anyway, but if we have enough cash as well as revenue to cover, then we have a balanced budget.
In the single year, technically, it wouldn't be a balanced budget, but are you asking me, will you be able to pay your bills? Yes.
Yes.
You
yes.
have lots of savings. That
so
means
we,
you
so we have the money for the budget.
Yes, you do.
You may not in a couple of years.
Right now.
So I think we can debate the accounting, because I would disagree with the accounting. I'd say, look, you only record the revenue because you kind of earn the right to use the revenue when you spend it, even though you've got it allocated. But that's
fine. I'm going by the auditor's recording of it.
But the way to think about it is just like all the other revenue we get, we've gotten in the past excess revenue from property taxes over our expenses, and we haven't spent it all.
That's correct.
And we have surplus. Now we have deficit, and we use some of that surplus. The same thing with the COPS money. We got excess revenue in prior years. We haven't spent. Now we're going to use it, so it shows as a deficit.
That's correct. It really is. That's the whole point of having the savings. We've had this discussion, I know, before, but the savings, like you said, other years we, well, they quote, made money, and we put it away for the rainy day.
Cindy had a question.
So, Debbie, I know you're an accountant and you're kind of an expert, and maybe you can help us with this, because I think our challenge is to provide transparency for our community and to provide something that they can follow through. We have this much revenue coming in, we spend this much money, we're short this much, and therefore we need to ask you for more. So I don't know if it's going to be in these documents. You're talking about line item 598. It's like a separate, different, but it's in, but it's different. And so is there a way, maybe you can think about it, you don't have to answer right now, but is there a way for us to provide a document that there's no question on the accounting, and people don't care about that. They just know that we have this much coming in, we have this much going out, and we're this much short.
It's a little bit of a loaded question because the truth is that is what your budget is. This is what's coming in and this is what's going out in that current year. But it isn't, that's transparent. That's what's coming in and that's what's going out. But if you're going to ask me, how are you paying for it? That may be less transparent, because then you say, well, we're short money. How are we paying for that then? And that's when you go to your available cash.
Maybe I should rephrase a little bit. So I would rather not have we have $100,000 deficit now, but we're actually going to be able to use $80,000 from another account, so it doesn't count as a deficit. So how do we get rid of that variable in this discussion?
In fact, it does count as a deficit. If you isolate
the... Okay, let's change our definition. Let's call it... I don't have enough in my left pocket to pay for what I'm trying to purchase. I mean, let's take away the word deficit because it's got too many different definitions. Let's use something that, I mean, can we, I don't know if we need to change the term or...
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you isolate the current year that you're looking at, mm-hmm. expenditures exceed revenues. That is the truth, right? Mm-hmm. If you just consider this year's revenues, meaning 09-10, versus the same year's planned expenditures is higher. But I think the confusion is always, it's always the same. How are you, you really want to know how you're going to pay for it. No, I don't think you should say on the $80,000, well, so it's not really a deficit. I mean, the fact of the matter is, like Bill said, it was reported over, or Charles said, it was reported over the year before or 2 years before, or all the years that you made money. I mean, that's just the reality. You have savings that's built from that exact formula for all those years.
Possible to put that in some kind of document we could
have another discussion? Well, I think we have in the budget, included in the budget, one page where it shows our revenue expenses and then how much we have in cash.
It does show that, but the point here is, I don't know how many of these other accounts were like the COPS fund where you have this mismatch, but it would be nice to know, for example, that in fact this year's deficit may not be, on paper it's an accounting deficit, but the $31,000 is in fact going to be paid for with last year's unspent COP grant money.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is true, but I mean, at some level you have to look at yourselves as a whole, right? And so you're right, this top sheet here, this is projected revenue and expense. You know, we took out all the details so it wouldn't be so messy to look at. And you have what's coming in and what's going out for the current year, and then you add where you have the cash. And that was meant to show you that you actually, you know, you're cutting into your savings, but you still have quite a bit left. I mean, you can make a footnote, but then that means you're tracking every kind of account separately. I mean, the reality is, you can do that. If that helps people to know that there is... I mean, this available cash shows that there, where the cash is actually, and you can see that the COPS money has $82,000. It's not an exact number because I don't know what the final interest will be, but it's close.
Yeah, isn't there a way, though, where you can separate capital outlays?
Excuse me.
You know, there are certain things, though, that really are handled differently. One is capital outlay. One is
these restricted funds like COPS, like the Lighting and Landscape District, like the baby. I mean, this is money that we received for a specific purpose. And whether the money, the savings, and I think this goes to what Cindy said, the savings is from a previous year or not, this, that money was accumulated for that. And isn't there a way at least to put those items in a separate category?
Okay.
Or a separate, a series of separate categories.
Okay. Can I direct you to the estimated available cash?
That's what I'm looking at.
Okay. Sorry. I think I just bumped into a stem here. If you look at that, that does tell you where the money is. So
that's
garbage
right.
made you late tells you $154,000. So you know that that's already earmarked for only that purpose. And capital is earmarked. So they are listed there. And if you looked at the total was $1,981,442. And that is the cash carryover on the projected revenue and expense. Mm-hmm. So I mean, if what you're saying is, I want to know where that is and how much is not really available for general fund use, mm-hmm. you do have it.
No, I understand that but what I'm looking at is the budget being presented for approval has about $90,000 of items that would be from a restricted fund. So, you know, is it really against the revenue coming in, or is it against these restricted funds, possibly by you know, again, you know, it's how you highlight them, it's how you code them. But surely there is a way of taking these things out of operations, you know, and calling them, you know, expenditures from restricted funds, which will be paid for, you know, as Chuck said, with a footnote, you know, of the restricted fund balances.
And maybe this is something the Finance Committee can work out, because
this is something that we're tackling, a way of reporting.
A presentation that's more.
But that would be just how to present the finances to the community.
It's extremely important, Debbie. To us, it becomes a transparency issue. People come back and say, this money was dedicated. That's not a shortfall. And I know it has nothing to do with your accounting and all that,
I understand the issue. Yeah. We can work on a Excel spreadsheet or something that will be more useful for people. But I do caution you, because if it's really a restricted fund, then that's fine. But if it starts to become every separate issue and you want to trail the money all the way through, I mean, that's pretty cumbersome. You at some level, you have to get the job done that has to be done. And, you know, this goes back to kind of, I think, the issue you guys have with the park versus the operating, you know, it gets very, you don't want to get buried in the minutiae. I mean, at some point you have to look and say, can we do what we want to do? And I'm happy to give you whatever detail you want. It's all there. It can be broken out. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you can be sure right now that the restricted funds are only being used for the restricted. But I understand that it's getting mushed together and it's confusing.
Carla?
No.
Oh, you're done.
Okay. Quick question. You said that the COPS money wasn't going to be there forever. What is the period of time when
I asked the chief to find out. I don't know what it is. I think that they gave it the money much later than they normally would. So we don't know whether they're extending the time that you have to use it.
Is it generally 1 year, 2 years, 5 years?
Do you know, chief?
I don't know. It's usually, in the past, the COPS funding was available to the communities, like come September, and everybody spent it in the year it was received. However, this past year, because of the budget crisis in Sacramento, we didn't get the first check until like the end of April, and we got a second check after that. We've only received, what's it, $60,000 so far, the $100,000? So we're still waiting for an additional $40,000 to come from the state. The last time I spoke with them, they said, well, they're kind of taking off the regulations and restrictions on when the money is spent, because it got it to all communities so late, and it was almost at the end of everybody's fiscal year. He said there would be no issue in doing carryovers, and there wasn't an issue when we did the carryover last fiscal year. But how long we can carry over, I'd have to check. So that'd be one issue, and I guess, you know, the other issue too is, well, this is my personal opinion, I don't think COPS will be there next year for us. So this will probably be the last year of COPS funding. That's probably one of the first programs to go when the state balances their budget. So once this $100,000 is spent, that'll be it. So I think because of that, they're going to allow us to carry this over as many years as we need until we have it spent.
I just want it to be checked because the state is looking for money, and if what it is if you haven't spent it, send it back, then we don't want to waste it.
And so it's still an expense.
Then it's still, you know, then because we reported the income, we would still have an expense as we write the check to the state, which is not fun. So that was my concern. I just want to, if they'll let us hold it, great, because if there isn't going to be any next year and you don't need something this year, then that's fine. But if they're going to take it back, we'd rather spend it.
Okay.
I just wanted to follow up with two more issues. And one is, I think that there was a discussion at our last meeting about the appropriateness of spending some of the COPS funds, and I just want to make certain that that's researched and that they're spent in a way that is in keeping with the rules and regulations of how we got it. We all remember there's a fellow named Dr. Walter Marks who spent restricted funds anyway. He wanted in the West Contra Costa Unified, is still repaying that debt. So I just want that researched well. Now my other question is in regards to Garbage Bayview, and there's almost $150,000 in that account, and you say it's restricted. How is it that restricted?
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm looking at the estimated available cash.
Yeah, she's looking at the late balance 134D, and at the end of the year, it's projected to be $154,000.
Yes. Now, what is the restriction on that? What is your understanding of that?
My understanding is that it has to be used for garbage or recycling or something, but I'm not the person to ask. You do understand I don't make the decisions on where to spend the money.
My understanding of that is, and I'm just saying it's an understanding, I'm not pounding the table and saying this is the way it is. I believe we can spend that money any way we want, and I think we better find out why we're holding it that way, because we're never going to spend it on garbage cans or whatever. I think that money is there to buy a police officer or whatever else we want. I don't think it is restricted.
How can we find that out?
Well, who told us it was restricted?
Where is it written?
Board resolution. We talked with Doug. This is a debatable item. Kathy, you're right. A prior board, which I was not a member of, elected to restrict it. It was a board decision. That's right. And don't know the legality to it. It was a board, governmental restriction at all. It was a board. And the part of the reasoning was they had gone through a very expensive and a difficult litigation with the county, because the county was trying to take over the garbage thing. And so part of the reason for holding the fund was to use, the big thing, we got the money to fight you, fella, if you don't play games with us one more time. I'm only talking about my understanding of why the board voted to restrict it. But we can, as far as I'm concerned, we can vote it another way, I mean, legally. We can vote it another way.
Thank you for the clarification.
Right. So we're just abiding by a board decision of 10 years ago or so.
Any other board questions for Debbie?
Yeah, I have a quick one. Debbie, if we were to ask for you to attend a meeting with the finance committee and the general manager, could you do that for us?
Yeah, assuming it's a date and time, I can.
Okay. I asked at the last meeting, and it seemed like an impossibility, and they were saying you were unreachable.
I actually thought this was going to be a finance committee meeting tonight. I was surprised when I walked. I just didn't realize it was a board meeting.
Sorry about the miscommunication, thank you very much for your time, and I think that's the appropriate way to do it, is to have you meet with the finance committee.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So one thing, I just sort of editorial on this budget and the way it's laid out, and I understand it now, and I'm kind of a recovering accountant. It took me a long time when I first got elected to figure this out, and I think it would take way longer for someone who's not a former accountant. I mean, we as a board have trouble trying to figure out how this works and how that works. So I really do encourage whatever we can do going forward to figure out a way to lay it out. It, yeah, I know it's accounting, it's complicated, but a way to lay it out that makes it a little bit more intuitive in terms of where the money's coming and going. It's a little complicated.
Thank you.
I am going to open up for public comment about the budget. I don't know if there are accounting questions. If they are, Debbie, if they're more general district questions of budget, and then we'll bring back to the board. Because one of the potential action items tonight is for the board to approve or reject this budget.
It's just really just to clarify, PB is that prior balance?
I'm sorry, where are you?
Estimated available cash?
No, park bond.
Park bond? Oh, gosh,
I'm sorry.
Thank you so much.
And that's why we excluded it, because that really is not, that is definitely restricted, right? And that's not part of our regular general fund.
Thank you very much. And then when I look down at capital, like 143E, what do you know what that is restricted for? Or just capital projects?
I would defer to Pat, because I think that this was intended the same way, that I think there was money set aside through the board to use that for capital expenditures, cars, a building, whatever it was. And I'm not sure that that's actually restricted. The capital, the money we have in lace for capital?
Oh, yes, that's definitely a board.
They were trying to say
it's just simply a board policy. It's not even a hardly decision. It's just let's have a capital car. It was for a car replacement. Every year, let's allocate another $30,000 so we can
get a new car. Right. So really, you obviously have some restrictions on the park money, and you have some restrictions on the cost money, but they're also figured into our budget. But that's why we excluded the park bond, admin and reserve, because those really are non-touchable.
Yeah, but that money is certainly touchable. It was
right.
Never restricted. It was just a
savings for it.
A savings for
it. Greg had a comment, speaking of the car issue.
Speaking of cops money,
yeah.
One of the things that I did check, I asked, several times, I wish it would just come out and say, here's a listing of things you can or cannot spend cops money on. They don't seem to want to provide that. But what I was able to clarify is cops money can be used on equipment and on salaries. One of my specific questions, the one that Pat asked a couple meetings ago, can we use it for recruiting, like reserve officers and the background process and all that? No, you cannot. You can only use it for equipment and for salaries. You use it for non-sworn salaries if you can show that there's non-sworn positions for putting cops back out on the street. Okay? Those are the only things we get. But what I did learn, which was kind of a big surprise to me, you could actually purchase police vehicles with cops money. So that was a pleasant surprise. When we get to that point,
if they're going to take it away.
Yeah, I mean, we could use that money, that $82,000, to buy police vehicles, if nothing else.
Okay.
Could we do that as a future revision?
We could revise the budget. That's kind of where we're at with that.
Carla, did you? Okay, sorry. Henry.
Debbie, if we don't get a tax increase, or the general manager board doesn't cut in order to balance our budget, how long do we have if we can't pay our costs?
Okay, are you saying we don't get any cost of living adjustment, nothing?
How long?
I haven't done that calculation. What you have is, we're projecting at the end of 2009-10 that you would have $1.6 million left in savings.
Okay. And
so however much you think that you're going to be over each year divided into the $1.6 million.
And what is that projection about?
That I don't know. That I don't know, because you have to make some assumptions about what you're going to spend each year.
A lot of $1.6 million is restricted.
Yeah, that's not what's on our paperwork.
A lot of the $1.6 million is not restricted. We've made some allowances trying to let people know what kinds of things need to be paid for. But they're not all really restricted money, and they're not all.
They're not legally restricted.
Right.
Yeah, it seems like the board, our board, prior boards have put money aside for different things. Our board probably needs to have a serious discussion about what do we want to put aside out of those monies to revisit that.
So what you're talking about is the line that says available funds, right? That's what you're referring to? Where there's future allowances listed against that $1.6 million?
Right.
Right. And so, you know, you can go line by line, but a lot of them are not really restricted. They're really about, let's keep in mind that we're intending to do this or that in the future.
Right.
But they would be, in the future, they would be part of the budget for that year.
Right.
Kathy, her hand raised. Kathy Simon.
Oh, I can save it for later, but I do believe, I now that I've been lectured by the attorneys on Prop 218, I think that you couldn't use franchise fees for general fund purposes, because the whole point of 218 is to prevent cities, counties, districts, and other things like that, special districts included, from levying a tax that people didn't vote on. And if you take the franchise fee and use it for something else, other than what it was intended for, I think you run into problems. But you'd have to consult the attorney about that. I wouldn't be real confident about my ability to put that money into general fund usage. And I wouldn't really recommend it, because you could be looking at some expenses, just to put it that way.
Well, but this is stuff we need. I mean, this is really important stuff. The difference between $1.6 million or $700,000. I mean, these are the questions that came up in our town hall meeting a year ago, April, and the public was pummeling us over. And I think it's really important that the finance committee work with Debbie or whoever needs to establish where the board, when we talk about where are we going, we need to know those, and we need to establish those answers. We've had these discussions over the franchise fees as long as I've been attending these meetings.
Yeah, like I was saying, I think the board needs to have a discussion of those allocations. And like,
can we have the finance committee have a discussion first and then bring recommendations?
Yeah, I would like that.
I would rather not do it in this forum.
Okay.
John? Well, just a question. Under future allowances, it says allowance for retirees medical zero. I thought you folks had made the determination what you were going to do annually in terms of allowance for the future.
It's going in the budget now rather than as an allowance. It's in the budget as an expense.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you look at the medical, it's up about $100,000.
So if I can go back to Henry's question, because I didn't get a clear answer in my mind too.
Okay.
We're talking about real rainy day money. That can be spent in case of a budget deficit. It looks to me that I think what I heard was the 736 represents that. Is that true? And I have a follow-on question, so don't get too stuck on that. Just tell me what the number is.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, then what is
1.6 million?
But part of that's restricted. So what's the
not very well? That's what they're talking about. These are allowances. None of those are actually restricted. We want to make you aware that we're intending to spend some of that money on these things. They don't have to be spent on that.
Let me put it another way.
Okay.
If we have a budget deficit, theoretically, of $400,000 right now, how long can we go on before we're broke?
If you're going to assume the same exact
just
numbers?
The numbers that are here.
Well, 1.6 divided by 4
is
4 years.
4 years.
And I think that's the question that the community will ask.
That chart
was
before.
They want us to hit the wall first.
Have you tried to balance a budget instead of liberal immediate taxes? Have you tried? I think if the taxpayers are asking to come on me, have you attempted with the general manager and your account and your finance committee to really balance the budget?
Yeah, so I'm going to answer that, and then I'm going to bring it back to the board so you need to decide what you want to do about this current budget on June 25th. On the balanced budget, a couple years ago, I actually voted against the budget that we approved, because I wanted us to have a serious discussion about balancing the budget. And as I've gotten into it more and more, looking at the details, as you know, it's a personnel issue. Balancing the budget is a personnel issue. Nine-channel cost of personnel related. And so the question then is, if we want to have a balanced budget, we cut heads. And it's not really cutting heads, it's cutting hours, right? Because you can have 20 people work that time or 10 people full time, or, you know, whatever you want to do. And so when you cut hours, it's cutting coverage. And so the question is, to balance this budget, we would cut two full-time equivalents, which means we cut a shift. And then the question is, what shift do you want to cut? Do you want to cut a shift in the daytime, let's say afternoon shift, afternoon evening shift, or, you know, most of what crime we do have occurs then, and so you cut one of those shifts on the weekends or on the weekdays, or when we have single coverage with one person, we just cut that coverage completely and we don't have anybody. And that's, I think, what a balanced budget means. And then that's a question we as a board can have a discussion about balanced budget. And there was one last hand. Did you?
Officer Sturrow, Kinston Police Department. I'm the POA president, Police Officer Association president. One question I have about the finances is, I haven't been here the last few meetings, but I've been told that you decided to have somebody approach the POA and talk about these issues. I was approached last week over the phone by Director Kozel. She asked for us to meet this Tuesday, a couple of days ago, at 8:30 in the morning at Fat Apples. Officers Eric Stegman worked that graveyard, had stayed over, he got up at 6, stayed over, and we waited. I did not receive a phone call, or Director Kozel did not show up. Given the history of negotiating with this board in the last few years, I really feel that there needs to be a game plan between the board members, and that maybe we, get somebody else in there or something. Because I don't like being left. You know, this is my time that I'm not getting paid for. I live in Antioch. For me to come out here and deal with these meetings and be stood up is not right. And I would appreciate that either we have a dialogue between each other, and then I go back to the POA and we talk about these issues. You know, there needs to be something there. And I don't feel comfortable with giving the history between some of these members and the POA. And I'd like you to maybe appoint somebody else or take it upon yourself.
May I respond to that?
Yeah, go ahead. There's a little more to it. Like I said early on,
you know, I don't feel like I have a mandate from this board to negotiate. But Keith, you told me that you didn't have your calendar with you, and that I would have to call you to remind you
to do that, and
I'm not very good at secretarial things. So when I woke up that morning, I realized that I forgot to call you the day before, so I assumed you wouldn't be there. So
at 8:30 in the morning, you didn't call me?
Keith, let me
wrap
that. Thanks for bringing that. Let me just request perhaps to just try again. You know, just coordinate calendars and try and sit down and have a conversation.
Well, again, without a mandate from the board, it is not appropriate for a single board member to meet with the KPOA. There needs to be a consensus of the board of what we're asking or offering.
All right, tell you what, we'll bring it up again at the next meeting. We did talk about it at a prior meeting. On your suggestion is to approach the KPOA to see if something could be worked out. But I can tell that you want more direction, so we'll bring it up at another meeting and have a discussion about it.
Rather than doing it right now. Agenda item? Bill, is that an agenda item? We're not entitled to talk.
Keith, thanks. Fix this here, and then in the meantime, let's finish up on the budget, because we have another item to discuss with Pam.
Okay, Bill, your summary of the budget issue has merit. There's another approach to it as well, and it's not just let's cut cops through the area. We can negotiate a different deal with the KPOA. We can leave positions vacant by attrition. We can not upgrade the pay status of anyone until we achieve a more stable fiscal situation. I just think there are other things. I think it sounds like a threat. Okay, we're going to cut a bunch of cops if you don't give us more money. I think that we can take other steps to save money.
Well, you know, there are some other things we can do. We are bound by a contract right now. We're in the middle of a 2-year contract. I went through today and looked at, okay, one more time. Where's our deficit coming from? This year we're a little bit in deficit, next year we're a lot in deficit, so where's it really coming from? About, let's call it $350,000. Half of it is attributable to the GASB 45 implementation. That's for money we're supposed to expense for existing operations that we've already incurred. We can't go back and unincur those. Another $50,000 is for related to the contract with the POA. $30,000 is related to what the PERS increase in expenses are for existing retirement obligations. And then there's some Richmond dispatch fees that's going to increase, that's going to a few other things. So, and we haven't even talked about things in the fire department release yet. So, I'm not sure how we can, you know, get to a balanced budget without cutting coverage. I looked through this, and it just looks like it's a coverage. That's my own opinion.
We need to take some steps towards it.
What about an analysis of, I know we've had two officers that haven't been to work in quite some time. We've been operating with basically two heads cut, except we're paying them.
Right, so it's really not cutting officers, it's cutting shifts, hours paid.
So I would like to see that analysis from Greg. I mean, how many officers does it take to continue to function in Kensington? How long could we go? I mean, we have natural attrition. He mentioned that at the last meeting. He mentioned it several meetings ago about a retirement age that actually turned out doesn't exist. But with the natural attrition, I mean, how long can we not? I mean, Greg mentioned that. We don't have to hire somebody into that position.
That's true. But it's not necessarily who's there. It's that there's someone there. And we can decide, we just pull them off, which we don't need them there. And then you can have them go by attrition or layoffs or whatever. But again, I think it's an issue of coverage, not
I understand coverage, but I'm asking for the analysis. What do we do?
I'm not disagreeing that analysis is needed, but we need to take into account that the officers that are covering for the missing officers are getting overtime or they're getting compensated.
Well, we haven't been told that, are they?
Yes, they are.
Well, you know, we actually did the analysis.
Well, I don't know, but...
Well, you should find out.
Well, that's my question, actually.
I don't remember what month it was, March, April, around that time frame. We actually did the analysis on what the coverage would look like if we had to cut the budget and what shifts. You know, the weekend shifts and the weekday shifts and the midnight shifts and all that, and where we would, and the based on some meetings Chuck and I had with Greg, because we were on the expense reduction task force. So we've gone through that exercise.
Then what was the result?
That we would have to cut shifts. We would have to cut we would have to go one person covering Kensington Friday through Sunday, one FTE, 24/7.
Did that include the police chief's time as an active officer? Can he help that shift? He's there.
I think he's doing that now.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So,
This aside, Bill, we've seen this particular budget four times. I've yet to see one that I feel is completely accurate, so I don't have the confidence in this particular budget that's sitting in front of me to vote for it. My request last meeting, and I'm going to make it again, and Debbie said she's willing, would be to have the Finance Committee sit down with Debbie and the General Manager and absolutely go through it with a fine-tooth comb and ensure that it's accurate. I don't have the confidence right now, so until that happens, I can't vote for it. I don't have the information.
I'm going to move that we extend our meeting to 10:15 because we do need to resolve this budget and one other issue. And we've got 25 minutes. If we do that, is there a second? I'll second. Okay. All in favor? I'm in favor. Anybody else?
I'm not.
Okay, so the motion doesn't carry. We're going to end at 10. I'm going to open it up to public discussions. Kathy?
It occurs to me sitting here that all of a sudden balancing the budget, even if it means cutting staff, cutting police officers, is the holy of holies. And since when was that your job? Your job really is to provide talks like high quality, that's your mission statement, is high quality police services. And I don't think that training two staff right now is gonna fulfill that. And you have time now to go out and raise a tax and continue with what you want. I think that balancing the budget, especially at this late date with using this technique, doesn't make much sense to me in terms of public relations. I don't think that's what your community wants from you.
Thanks. John has a hand.
I was going to say, part of what Kathy said, but I was going to say it differently, is that you're talking like you're a private country club, and you're not. So just a 101 civics lesson, you were elected by the public, I think, to provide, at least speaking for myself, really good and thorough police services. So at least speaking for myself, I do not have my permission to cut police in order to balance the budget. You do have my permission to figure out how to go about raising enough taxes to continue to provide the services that you do. And I have to say, even though I hate budgets that don't balance, I think to do anything to the officers right now, after the guys that are left have worked overtime and given up vacations and holidays to make sure the community is covered and safe, I think it's a total insult, and I'm totally against it.
Thank you. Joan, and then Henry.
Well, first off, I agree. Second, you have to pass a budget by the 30th of June. You may amend the budget after you pass it. But unless you want to meet here for the next five nights, and with, I would say, a very dim prospect that in 5 days we can agree on all these things, I strongly urge you to pass the budget. Go back to the Finance Committee. We've talked about a number of things that can be worked out. but you're not going to solve them tonight, and I don't think you're going to solve them in the next 5 days. And if you don't, you'll be in violation of the law for not having passed your budget by the 30th of June. You don't have the state's power to stop the clock.
I'm going to take two more comments. I'm going to ask you to speak for no more than 1 minute because we do need to decide to hear.
I'm not here because of any of these specific issues. I'm here. My name is Leonard Schwitzberg, and I'm here because of some of the emails I've received with the information in it, in them. And what I've seen here tonight is distressing to me because it confirms what I was concerned about in the written materials I've seen. Brown Taylor, 11 personnel actions out of 12 employees, is that correct? If that was the case, we're in trouble, folks. There's a rhinoceros in this living room, and you folks are not dealing with it. I don't know who's at fault. I'm not blaming anybody. I don't know the details. But I do know, I'm a psychologist, and so I tend to look at things at a certain level, and I do know that there is a problem here that is not being dealt with. This is an adversarial group, and that's got to stop. We're in trouble, and we're going to be in bigger trouble if we don't address this problem in some way that's constructive. I'm not seeing a constructive spirit here. I'm seeing an adversarial spirit here, and that's why I came here, to address that issue. And I mean, I hope you hear what I'm saying in the constructive spirit that I'm intending it. I hope you're hearing that. I'm not here to blame anybody. I'm not here to cast judgments or anything like that. I'm telling you what I'm hearing.
Okay, thanks. Henry, and then hear me, and let's make sure that we have a vote on this budget before 10 o'clock. So, Henry.
Well, I don't think you guys should pass this budget. I think you should demand more from the general manager, at least to meet you halfway. If you have to cut one cop and raise taxes a little bit, you should show some discipline and some leadership in that. To pass it the way it is, you're not fulfilling your civic obligation. You are letting down the community. You're not even attempting to do something. To ask for money and to allow that budget to go on. If you're just going to hand it over next year, when we have, what, 3.5 years, and increases going to come in, we'll be bankrupt in 2.5 years. So ignore it now, Bill.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to, it's 3 to 7, I'm going to make a motion that we pass the existing budget as presented by General Manager Chief Harmon. Okay, discussion on this.
So there's a spending plan, and it can never be, in terms of accuracy, it will never be 100% accurate. This is a spending plan that is possible, and I think we should go forward with it, the potential for amendments that we can look into.
I would echo Pat's comments. We do have the power to amend it. We do have the power to make changes as we see fit coming up. We've always had that power. I think it's a reasonable budget. We have kicked it around quite a bit. This isn't some strange thing we just picked up yesterday to decide to pass today.
I'm going to, the reason I made the motion, the reason I'm going to vote for it is because we've had years of surplus. We're now in, and we're now not there. But we've built up some surplus for these sorts of things, and I'm going to pass it and hope that we then figure out what we're going to do. If, once Pat and I figure out what the deficit is going to be going forward, figure out a plan on that.
I'm going to vote no. I don't have confidence that it's accurate. I mean, and I understand as far as the spending plan goes what you're talking about, Pat, but I'm saying that I've seen 4 different versions. And I just don't, I'm afraid the next version is going to be even more accurate than the last, or I'm sorry.
I think this has been a really sloppy effort, and I would like to see the general manager get together with the accountant and with the Finance Committee, and I'm prepared to meet in special session, should the Finance Committee recommend the budget and certify its accuracy this time. I don't have any confidence in Louis before.
I'm going to take a vote. I'm going to go director by director and make sure we've got it right for the record. Director Toombs?
Aye.
Director McLaughlin?
Aye.
Director Wright is aye. Director Kosol?
No.
Director Kimball?
No.
And the budget is passed 3-2. And we are going to discuss the other agenda item at the next board meeting. I can make a motion to move this.
All right.